Happy New Year. This is the 39th day in the year of 2021. And it is February the 8th, 2021. So, how's your new year going for you so far? We're not really that far into it, this being the 39th day. Everything still seems to look new, feel new about this new year, even though some things followed us from the year before till today. Okay. Can I say welcome to you to A Voice of a People? My name is Linda Sims. This program is live and on the air at this very moment. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download an app. Just like the other little apps you have on your phone, this app is called TuneIn. And you can do this on any electronic device. And once you download that app, search WWGH. And it remains on your phone just like the other ones do. But that way you don't always have to download it and search, you know, every time you want to listen to the radio show. Whether it's mine or someone else's, we have many other talk show programs that may interest you. If you would like to call in and ask questions or share comments that's relevant to what we're talking about on the show, you can call 740-383-9944. Again, 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. And I mean faithfully. These people have been with A Voice of a People almost since day one. We were on the air in 2014. And again, we will be celebrating 7 years on the air as a station, June the 10th. Lord bless and say the same. Starting with Chappie's Hydraulic, hose specialist, one of my sponsors, LLC. They are located at 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. We have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 28 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio. And the owner and founder of Inspect Ohio will be my guest today. She will be calling in at 4:30, Cheryl Lee. And I will talk a little bit more about her in a few minutes, okay? Now, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. That thought is titled, Keep It Simple. And it goes like this. With so many choices and decisions, so many demands from people and events in our modern fast-changing world, it's a real challenge to keep it simple. Making it simple means making things easy and clear. The magic wand to wave over our life is planning and prioritizing. Make plans, long and short term, and then prioritize. Then practice taking one thing at a time so you can have one thought at a time with some space before you go to have your next thought. But don't get attached to your plans or priorities. Be flexible, easy, and yet focused. Clear, and in this way, you can teach yourself to think simply and act simply. One thought at a time, at your own pace, in your own space. A simple life is a contented life. Well, you know, I really needed that for this new year because, and maybe I'm sure I'm not alone in this, that there's just so much happening in our life and in our time, in our world, that information comes at us at a very fast pace and things are always changing and our mind is here, Our mind is on politics. Our mind is on the new presidency. Our mind is on coronavirus. Our mind is on our children and our grandchildren. Our minds are all also on our own health and our own well-being. I got to get gas today. My car needs to be washed. I need to vacuum the floor. And just so many things going through our minds, you know. And it's kind of hard to sit down and make yourself prioritize one thing at a time. But I do know from experience that is the best way. That is the best way to get a task completed. I find myself starting a task and having to leave one room to go to another room to get something that has to do with the task that I'm trying to complete, and I'll go pick up another something to do. Or because I've forgotten what I went to go get to finish that task. I know I'm not alone, so I'm not going to sit up here and feel like I've lost my mind, because if I have, I know many of you have joined me. And it just puzzles me. It's like, now why did I come in here? Okay, and then I go back to where I came from. And I say, oh yeah, that's what I needed. I needed that to finish this. And you go out that room again. You may still go look. But as soon as you leave that spot, something else is on your mind. And it just pushes the other thoughts you had out of the way. So it's like, how many times do I go back and forth trying to recollect or bring my mind back into focus about what I'm doing? Like I said, I don't feel bad because I know I'm not alone. But it seems like an unending, monotonous, back and forth ordeal every day. It may not be about the same thing or the same time of day. But if I can just be still and have everything I need while I'm trying to complete a task in the vicinity around me, say like in arm's reach, I'd be okay. And I those of you who do have an office in your home, I can't say I'm jealous of you, but it's a little easier for you because mostly everything is right there. Well, I do have a small office space, but everything I need is not there. Because sometimes my bed is my office desk, or my kitchen table may be my office desk, where I, you know, go through my thought process and contemplate different things I need to do, you know. Or I might be watching TV and I have notebooks and pencils in there, you know, just in case something comes across the TV that I want to write down. Then I have color-coded tablets so I can complete what I began without getting up and leaving and forgetting why I left that spot and what I went to get. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. It's just that when it does happen that way, it's just aggravating. So I really like the thought, keep it simple. Making things easy and clear. Now, when my guest, Cheryl Lee, calls in, she is the coordinator of Child Evangelism Fellowship, which is a faith-based school, elementary school program that we have in our Marion City schools, not just in Marion, Ohio, but in our country and other countries throughout the world. So this is nothing new. Since 1970, we have been allowed to preach the gospel in elementary schools, because if they do allow any other type of after-school program, they cannot stop us from coming in with this program. So I also call her the director because she does a lot of directing. Okay. Cheryl Lee is just that type of person. You know, she puts on our fundraisers every year, twice a year, and she's really good at, you know, raising money and directing us in a way that may be more expedient for us and more helpful to the children as far as getting the gospel out. But she is my guest today. She will be calling in at 4:30. Looks like about 4 or 5 minutes she'll be calling in. But she'll be my guest, and I will be bringing this up to her about keeping it simple. Even when you're trying to talk to people about different subjects and matters. Like this morning, I talked to Tyler Pigman from Ohio Health Department, and we were talking about the year in review, the COVID, and when it came in, how it felt, how it overwhelmed him and everything. But I'm going to have to call Tyler back because he did not give me my stats for the amount of people that were affected in Marion, Ohio, how many deaths in our city, county, and how many people contracted the virus. But I'm going to get those stats for you, okay, as soon as I can. But keep it simple. I said I went too far because I kind of lost my thought where I was at. But keeping it simple, let us not try to put too much thought into a matter that we really have nothing to back it up with. Right. Hearsay. You can't even take hearsay into a court of law. Well, I heard somebody told me that such and such said such and such a thing. Well, that's hearsay. So we want facts. You know, we want you to be able to back them up. So, and that also goes with what we will be talking about in the next hour from 4:30 to 5 p.m. Trying to keep it simple. Trying to keep the message simple instead of confusing people about the Great Commission. What's it all about? And what is the gospel? A lot of people don't know what the gospel is because I think maybe over the years we've made it too complicated. And why would we do such a thing? That I don't know. The Great Commission is go out into the hedges and the byways, well, highways and byways, and compel people to come in. That means beg them to come in to the family of God. Come beg them. If you have to, beg them. Well, here's my caller right now. Let's hold on. Hello.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Fine, Cheryl. How are you doing?
Real good, real good.
That's good.
Locking myself in the bathroom so that we can talk undisturbed.
That's funny. To lock yourself up in the bathroom. I was just talking about how I go from room to room. I start a project in the kitchen, but I don't have everything I need in the kitchen, so I go to another room to get something to complete my task, right? And when I get there, I forget what I went for, so... Then I go back to the kitchen, like, wow, what did I do? What didn't I do? So there you are in the bathroom. Well, praise God.
Yeah, we're all taking care of our 2-year-old, and you will hear him at the door eventually.
I'm sure.
Mom!
I'm sure. Boy, grandkids are a joy, aren't they?
They are. They are a lot of fun, and it is fun to see how expressive they are. I think when we're moms, Linda, we are just so busy, you know, that we didn't have time to see the as much expressions as our grandchildren display. And I know my kids were expressive, but these little ones, oh man, they just keep you laughing.
And you're right. I had to work. I'm sure you did too.
Right.
And when you come home, it wasn't about all that paying attention. And, you know, it was about let's get dinner done, you know, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Not only that, now it's time to get your baths and get your jammies on the bed, right?
That's exactly right. And then after the little ones were put down, and our bedtime around here was 8:30 because my husband worked, we were building a business. And he during the day, he would work on our business, Inspect Ohio, and then in the evening, he'd work at Whirlpool. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for the first 5 years, I really felt like I was a single parent because we're a blended family. I had a daughter, and then we had a son together. And at 8:30, it was their bedtime. And it was, I explained it to my husband, it was for their safety because I was spent. Mm-hmm. You know, I was done. And so I get them down, and it's like this emotional relief. and I'd get the second wind, so that's when I'd start cleaning on the house.
Yep, I'm sure there was a method to your madness. I know my children's bedtime was 7:30. It'd be like 8, a little after 8 by the time they did get to sleep, but it was definitely for them and me. I needed that time, you know, to calm down.
Exactly, and do what you had to do then.
Right. Without losing my mind.
Exactly.
So how's the new year going for you?
Well, you know, it's going well. It's going well. Calvin had wanted to slow down a little bit. So as far as our business, we have slowed down some. Are we retired? No, we're not. We're just slowing down. And that's fine, too, because he has worked hard for a good many years. You know, we've had our business for, about 29 years. And, you know, so he has worked hard throughout all those years. And so now it's just time to slow down a little bit. And I guess that's a good time because with COVID, people are unsure. You don't know what's right. You don't know the facts of COVID. You hear one thing, and then you hear another thing. You know, just a flip of the coin. So you do it the best you can. And everyone in the family, we are healthy, so that's a blessing. You know, we have a roof over our head. That's a blessing. We have heat. We have food. Those are blessings. Can't complain, Linda.
Good. That's good. Those are blessings. And thanks to our God that he makes sure that his people are taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Mm-hmm. He really does. He provides for us and way better than I could provide for myself. That's for sure. Absolutely. And I know we were talking earlier. I do want to, we were talking about what manner of people should we be and our holy conduct. And I think that's in 2 Peter 3:11. I did not bring my Bible. Maybe I can pull it up on my phone, though. 2 Peter 3. Since we're living in this age of coronavirus and high tensions, racial, politics, we have the vaccines in the land, and now we have one, we have two, now we have another one coming on the scene. People are still getting the virus. People are still dying from the virus. And I just shared with my listeners that you were the director and coordinator of Child's Evangelism Fellowship. And that program more or less answers the question, what manner of people should we be in our conduct, in our holy conduct, in these last and evil days, whether people want to believe that or not. I guess that's up for controversy too, right?
Oh, it is. It really is. 2 Peter 3, you said 11?
Yes.
Okay. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you be in holy conduct and godliness?
Yes.
And today I was doing some devotions, Linda, and I'd like to read some scripture out of Colossians.
Okay.
And this is chapter 2, starting with verse 4. Now, what I'm doing is I'm reading from the New King James, okay?
Okay.
It says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it for thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, this is Paul's lesson. You know, this is Paul speaking out and assuring this church that they need to be just constantly looking to Christ. so that their faith will not waver. And they had been taught, you know, they had, the seeds had been planted and the roots had grown deep within this church. So they had a good foundation, and Paul just wanted to continue encouraging them, and that the words are so applicable today, because he says, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Mm-hmm. Have we not been seeing that for the last 12 to 18 months?
And not only that, and have been persuaded, maybe not too far, but somewhat, from listening and just being a part of it.
Exactly. And I guess that kind of goes to, I came across, when you were talking about going from room to room or going out to the kitchen to gather something, mm-hmm. and then by the time you get there, you've maybe picked up a dish, you put it in the sink, or you're going to make more coffee or whatever, and you never get right down to what you meant to do in the first place.
Yes, absolutely.
That is Satan's ploy. He keeps us so busy that we forget to keep our eyes on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we look at the Bible and we think, okay, I'll dust that off in a minute. You know, I'll crack it open in a minute. I'll get to it in a minute.
Right.
And then it's the end of the day, and you're so washed on tired, your brain has been overloaded. All you want to do is sit down and vegetate in front of the Gilmore Girls or something. You know? So, and is that not, those are all devices of the enemy. Mm-hmm. You know, and so priority, you're saying what kind of manner of person we have to be?
Yes.
We have to prioritize.
Absolutely.
We have to prioritize, because that Bible gets dusty pretty fast, and the pages don't jump out at you. Mm-mm. And the verses don't get shared, and therefore, if you don't take it in on a regular basis, like we take food and drink, mm-hmm. if we don't sup on God's word, then we have nothing for the Holy Spirit to pull out of us when we're bold enough, willing to, or have the opportunity to share.
That's true. That is so true.
Yeah. So, you know, but as you were talking about this passage right here, Colossians, this was a side note to something else I was reading earlier. And I can't remember what I was reading earlier.
Don't feel bad.
So obviously, this is what God wanted us to talk about, huh?
Yeah. I was saying, I know I'm not alone, so I don't feel embarrassed. I know many people are with me, right? You know, every day. I know we go through this every day. And, you know, sometimes I think more so women than men, because it seems like our agendas are always overwhelming. And they seem to like go through life, even though I'm not married, but they go through life like they have no concern at all. Is that true?
Well, I'm here. I think sometimes, too, for a woman in a ministry, it is a little tougher, because she is still the hub of the family. You know, in pioneer days, the wife of the family was called the good wife. Mm-hmm. That they termed her the good wife because she was the hub of the family, and she had the responsibilities of so much. Mm-hmm. Well, those responsibilities, even though we don't have to go to the nearest creek to scrub our clothes clean, or we don't have to, you know, we don't have to carry in pail after pail, bucket after bucket of water, we still have a lot on our table.
Oh, yeah.
And on our plate. And when we're in the ministry, you know, Satan tries to slow us down so much by having us whispering the lie in our ear that we are less than perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, we aren't holding up to what society expects us to do. We're not working. We're not bringing home the bacon. You know, we're not taking care of our family as we should, all of those lies he whispers in our ear. When we, in fact, we do have to take care of the family, we do still have to clean, we still do have to do the laundry and the dishes and make the meals for the most part, and still find time to do the ministry or supposedly the promoting of the ministry. And now that, Linda, I'm telling you, I can't tell you the last time I was able to call a community church and promote the industry, I mean the ministry. And that is part of my, you know, that's part of what I should be doing as a community coordinator, is promoting CEF with individuals and with industries and with, you know, different churches. And yeah, it is difficult to get everything put in place and to continue doing it.
Right, and when COVID came in, things just changed drastically. It was kind of slow, but it was still drastic change for all of us. And like you said, well, that's why I find comfort when I was writing down what manner of people should we be, you know, as far as being our holy, in our holy conduct. And it brings me back to Child's Evangelism Fellowship, because we kept it simple. We preach the gospel. We do preach that Christ is coming back. See, a lot of people are not even preaching that he's coming back.
Yes, we do. And, you know, the gospel takes care of your social injustices. Because if someone is truly keeping their eyes on Jesus, there is no racism, because there is no color to a person. You know, if our brothers and sisters are truly walking with the Lord and we bump into each other, there aren't harsh words. We just say, oh, excuse me, and we go on our business, you know? Or we reach out to families around us who are in need. The God's Word takes care of social justices. And it starts with trusting God, that He is the Creator, that He is willing to take care of us. And then it start, and then it goes into us humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves doesn't mean we're weak. It takes a strong person to humble themselves. And then when we humble ourselves, then we can cry out, Father, I need someone who's bigger than me to carry me through this. I know what I've done in the past. You know what I'm going to do in the future. Forgive me and take me there.
Right. Absolutely.
In the name of Jesus. And just, then just trust God that through the blood of Jesus, because of what he did on the cross, I am a new creature. No matter how many times Satan wants to whisper in my ear, do you remember when? Do you remember how you were? Do you remember what you did to that person? Sorry. My history is Satan's playground, but my future is filled with God. And, you know, again, that's why the word says, don't look back. Look forward. Look forward. And, Linda, I do believe that we are closing into our final days. I do believe that Christ Jesus is preparing us to come, you know, to come, and and he wants us to be looking for him.
Oh, yes, so absolutely.
But while we're doing that, we still have a job to do. We still have the sharing of the gospel. You know, and if he came back tomorrow, I've got a nice house. I've got a nice piece of land. I've got a great husband. I've got great kids. But I would leave it all.
Leave it,
and
leave
I will, because you can't take a U-Haul to heaven.
No, you can't. And that's exactly what 2 Peter 3 was about. Yeah, we have all these things, but they're going to stay here. We can't take them with us.
Exactly. But, you know, my only thing that I pray, Lord, you know, I know we're supposed to pray, Lord, come quickly, but I'm like, Lord, tarry just a little bit longer. Tarry just a little bit longer. Because my family's not walking with the Lord.
And, you know, I thought about that, too, in this text, 2 Peter 3, what manner of people should I be? Yes, I have witnessed to my children. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. And then I was listening to, I think his name is Cirillo. You may have heard of him before. And he was talking about, you know, like these gangs, you know, their power is in their hands and in the guns and in the swag and whatever they have going on. They don't realize that there's power in being saved. There's power in being connected with Jesus Christ. And one of the first signs is speaking in tongues once you receive the Holy Spirit. You know, and laying hands on one another, you know, that you may be healed. And there's just so much attached to that. Not that we're trying to sell God's power, but to let them know this is not a game. This is real. Mm-hmm. Heaven is mm-hmm. real. Hell is real. God is real.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to have to choose.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because time, and you know, our time, it could be tomorrow. It could be this very minute that the Lord would call us up to him,
right.
Catch us up to him. That's what the rapture means, to be caught up. Or it can be 10 to 20 years.
Right.
But look at this, Linda. We were just talking about our kids.
Yes.
And how we took care of them and how we laid them down to rest so that we could do our daily work.
Mm-hmm.
And our children, you know, are going close to 30. And yours are even a little bit older. So look how quick that was. You know, you turned around twice, and now I've got their babies. I'm mothering and loving on.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's today or whether it's 20 or 30 years down the road, we still have to pray continuously for them.
Yes.
And I've got a plaque that I have in my bathroom. I know it's an odd place, but I figure everyone in the family has to come to the bathroom at some point in time so they can look at it. Bathroom, obviously, is a very important room in my house.
It is.
Anyways, it says, faith is not believing God can. Faith, it is knowing that God will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all know God, what God is capable of. He created the heavens and the earth, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the imagination he had on developing every species of animal. And then he loved us so much and how he made us in his image. So we know what God is capable of. We know he can.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants us to have the faith to realize he will. And that's when we start becoming like the wind and start getting tossed around to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the wave of the ocean, and we're not grounded.
Yeah.
And the sand comes sweeping out from underneath us.
Yeah, by being tossed by every wind of doctrine. And that's what's out there. The wind
right.
of the doctrine. Every day
that's
something different. It's coming from the left. It's coming from the right. And the Lord just told me before I got on the phone, there is no perfect party.
No.
We all have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
It comes
mm-hmm.
short of the glory of God. So we can't continue to demonize one party over the other. We have to pray.
Mm-hmm. And pray for the spirit of discernment.
Yes, absolutely.
And wisdom. Because God said that if you ask, I will give it to you liberally.
Mm-hmm.
He will give us wisdom in abundance. But there is something that we have to do.
Yes.
There is a condition. We have to ask. And another, you know, in the Word of God, it says, you have not because you've asked not.
Right.
Again, there's that condition. We have to ask.
Amen.
Father God is willing to give it. And when we ask, then we leave it at his throne, at the foot of his throne, knowing he will.
Mm-hmm.
He will deal with it. He will take care of it. It will be his timing. And that's where I have trouble.
I think we all do. When it comes down to that, we're not in control of anything. Just nothing.
No, we are. And
you know?
That's what I say, Lord, please
wow.
help me. Be a patient woman.
Yes. So when God says, come up to higher ground, what does that mean to you? What should that mean to Christians or baptized believers in Christ Jesus?
Well, not knowing the context of it, but I think that it just simply means that we are not better than other people. We are just forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, if we want to win people, because it's past winning people with words.
You got that right.
We will be winning people by our deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our deeds are by caring and loving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean that we have to be a doormat, because I think you cannot be a doormat, because Christ doesn't call us to be a doormat. You know, he calls us to be loving, and he calls us to be caring. And I think one part of that is being willing to teach,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that people may know how to mend a piece of clothing, may know how to go shopping, for goodness sakes. My grandson's a good example of this. When he was getting an apartment, you know, his funding was minimum, and I walked him through a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him with the money he had, he could pay all the things he needed to do and only have just a little bit. You know, he'd have less than $100 a month left over for fun things.
Right.
But what I tried to share with him is that the part of cable that he paid with his roommates and his phone, those were a major part of his entertainment.
Right.
And that's what he needed to, that's what he needed to think of them as, his entertainment. And then I told him with the money he had left over, he could go to, and I'll drop the line, Aldi's.
Mm-hmm.
He has a name, and he could go out there. And I explained to him how much he could buy for just $10. Rather than going to McDonald's and buying one meal, he could buy enough food for that $10 to last for a week.
Wow, and that's powerful. It is.
You know, now, Linda, the thing is, whether or not they accept it and move forward with it, that's up to them.
Yes.
But we are called to offer.
Yes, and to teach.
And share.
Absolutely, and to teach and show them the right way. And show them the right way.
That's
because
exactly.
We have a, what they say, an unchurched generation, and
yeah.
Somehow we have to reach them. And I agree with you, that is higher ground, and not to be so focused on what's going on in the earth, but be more focused on God and his plan for humanity. And I think that that's what he's calling his people to do, to be focused on that and winning souls. That is the Great Commission.
I have been so distraught, because I don't want to say depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the first week, the first Saturday of March is always our big fundraiser for Marion County.
Right.
Where we have our luncheon and our silent auction.
Mm-hmm.
And with COVID, and because I don't think we're going to be able to do it. I don't see how we can pull it off, because just talking to the people within my family, and my family is pretty diverse.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I keep hearing over and over again how they don't want to come because they have to wear the mask and it won't be any fun. And so that has really, we just have to think, and I'm just waiting for the Lord to give me a creative idea of how can we raise funding for CEF of Marion County.
You might have to go at Zoom or something and put on a program over Zoom and get your donations that way also. That's what a lot of people are doing. I mean, it's sad to say, but that's how people are getting over it or trying to keep their organizations alive.
Exactly. And so, you know, if any of your listeners have a suggestion, I'm open to suggestions. If any of your listeners would like to send a check, for goodness sakes, that would be wonderful if they would like to send a check. I can give them our office, because, see, we are one county out of nine counties in our chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And our chapter is Greater Findlay Chapter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so our office is a P.O. box. And if any of your listeners would like to write this down and they would like to send a check, and in the memo, just put Marion County.
Right.
That would be greatly appreciated. And our treasurer will let us know how much money was raised just from this one time on the radio with you, Linda.
Right. What's the P.O. Box again?
It's P.O. Box 454, Findlay, Ohio, 45839. They can make that check payable to CES. They can do it monthly. They can do it as a one-time check. If they would like to sign up on a monthly giving by credit card, mm-hmm. we have that capability too. All they have to do is put a little note in with their first check saying, yes, they would like to give monthly by credit card. And somebody will reach, our treasurer will reach out to them.
Oh, yeah. This is, it's very important that the gospel continues to get out. And it's, my thought for today was keep it simple. And it is simple. It's straight and to the point. Through
it
Child's
is.
Evangelism Fellowship, you know, and we need to reach our young people. So we have about 3 minutes left. How is Child Evangelism Fellowship surviving during COVID?
Well, we have been doing Zoom clubs, and, you know, that's slow going because little ones or the children are on Zoom. A lot of them are on Zoom all day long, mm-hmm. and you do have to still, just as if we were in the schools, we have to have parent permission for the child to be on a Zoom club.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting the same material as used, just as if we were in front of them. We still have the flashcards. We have the music, we have the review game, so it is a great club by Zoom. Word of Life, on Tuesdays, they are having, within their church, they're having a live Good News Club, so if any child on the North area would like to attend the Word of Life Good News Club on Silver Street, they are more than welcome to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts at 4:30, but you could call the church to make sure, okay?
Right.
Looking forward, we had hoped that we'd be in the schools at the first of the year. Didn't happen.
Right.
But you still have the expenses. You still have the expenses of insurance for a ministry. You still have the expenses of the materials that we're using. You know, and anybody who would like to possibly get trained, we are looking for younger people because we're all within our 60s, I think. I don't think there's any of us. There may be a couple of us younger than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still looking for younger people, 30, 40, 50-something, men and women who would like to volunteer and be prepared to go back into the schools in October.
Right.
You know, we have to think now. And like I said, and that's hard, too, when you're thinking, oh, the Lord's going to come back. The Lord can be back any time.
But still have to be busy, yes.
We still have to be prudent. We still have to make plans.
Mm-hmm.
And as God said in His Word, don't be arrogant. Say, the will of God, and if He keeps us alive.
Right.
Now,
amen.
See, I didn't realize that that verse said, the will of God, and if He keeps us alive.
Amen.
We'll go here, and we'll go there. So
amen.
When I said that the other day, I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to make sure that I quote it right.
Amen.
Can I remember that in the Bible? No, I can't, because it was another rabbit trail I went down. But it stood out.
Yes,
so
it
will of God, with the will of God, and if He keeps us alive, we have to prepare for tomorrow.
Amen.
Do we worry about it? No, that's God's job.
Yes, it is.
But He said, be prudent and be prepared.
Amen. And we're out of time, but
okay.
I'll see you next Monday.
Yes.
We already made plans for that, and you'll be back on. So thank you, Shirley, for calling in. And thank you for those of you who have listened to A Voice of the People with Linda Sims here on WWGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect him. Take me through that walk. What do you see? How did it happen?
All right, well, as I walked through the door, I could see, I've always made it a habit in my career, especially as a detective, if I went into a room where there's more one people around, I did a quick look over of all of them, up and down. And so I saw Ruby. He was standing there, and he was holding that pistol in his left hand, pressed against his leg, down just above his knee. Well, he was surrounded by police officers and reporters, but none of them was looking down. They was all looking up head high, and I saw it. And as soon as I saw that, I was already within 4 or 5 steps of him by that time. And when I saw it, then I knew exactly what was going to happen. So I began my defense on it, trying to jerk Oswald behind me. And I was moving him behind me when he took 2 steps forward, and he put him in arm reach. And my reach, I reached over and grabbed him by the left shoulder and shoved back and down on him. But at the same time, of course, he'd switched that gun in his right hand and fired. And
the legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
Well, I'm not. You know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything.